Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Pittsburgh.
Oh, good morning. We're getting there. Almost to the Super Bowl. We talk a little Penguins a little later. Big win for them. Pitt basketball double dip last night for the city and two dubs. So we talk all about that. Ray Fittipaldo, 8 o'clock, Wednesdays with Whaley coming up at 9. Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. We got that hotline, hit us there, presented by Nemacolin around every corner. Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. But I did mention Super Bowl in just a moment ago. A fundamental question to build this conversation off of, because at first you hear it and you go, oh, that's an easy one. But then there's actually a deeper conversation with a whole lot of tentacles that come off of it. And the question is this: is the Super Bowl the greatest American sporting event or the greatest American sports adjacent event? Is it the greatest American sporting event? If you walk down the street, you walked into Market Square, or you went to a mall or somewhere today in one of the suburban outlier areas and said that, I think you'd get a lot of people say, yeah, what are you talking about? What do you mean Super Bowl's the greatest? But when you really dive into it, and I think it probably is once you go round and round and have this conversation, but I do think that there are things that rival it. We get jazzed up and gassed up this week, and I think there are some people that once the ball kicks off, it's almost anticlimactic, the game is. But let's talk about all of these things. Is the Super Bowl the greatest American sporting event?
So I sat here this morning, and you know, I love this question. I love this discussion. I was thinking, like, what could possibly rival the Super Bowl of being, one of the better and best events in the country? And there's only one other event that I could come to that could probably come close, that people would gather and experience and have the most viewership. And mine would be WrestleMania, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania might be the other one that could compete with the Super Bowl, because there are a plethora of wrestling fans out there, more than I ever knew. The older I get, it's like, wow, I can't believe that, you know, this many people watch and follow wrestling that much. But that's the only one that I could come up with. And other than that, like, I'm kind of stumped with the event that could compete with the Super Bowl.
I think there are a bunch. But go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I think there are lots of things that we look at as great American sporting events, or even international sporting events, that the world or United States Americans come together to watch. But to me, it strikes me that they're all sort of more than just one singular event, right? There's the Olympics. There's, something like the World Cup is an international thing as well. There's the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is right around the corner. That'll be a huge event. Crowley will have a sleepover. All those things are huge events as well, but they're all multi-day or multi-game events. And I don't know if anything like the Super Bowl is centered around just one singular event. I'm sure I'm forgetting something.
Well, I think the Kentucky Derby. Okay. Some people will say that. Some people will say the Indy 500 or Daytona, which we'll see next week. Some people will say the Masters. People who are in that golf realm, they could go to that level. There will even be people who say the Super Bowl isn't the greatest NFL event. They like the NFL draft more.
Mm.
Or they like NFL opening weekend. And then, of course, you get people who are like, well, the NFL, it's to this or to that. The Final Four is it for me. And I think that if you put that out there, that might be the one that rivals. Or the World Series. Or, and it's not solely American, but the Stanley Cup Finals. But again, that's not one-off. That's one, not one day. The Final Four isn't, but it kind of approaches. It's just one weekend. I think the Final Four or the Kentucky Derby or one of those big car races might. But we are now so removed from some, like, you can't say the Kentucky Derby anymore because it's not 1941.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky Derby fits because it's an event that really doesn't have much to do with actual horse racing.
And it makes America stop.
Yes, it does. And the Super Bowl is the same way. I don't know that it's actually about football. For people like us, it is. But my wife, she didn't care about the NFC or AFC championship games, but she will watch the Super Bowl and the halftime show and the run-up to it and all of that stuff. For me, the greatest sporting event, and I will love it forever, is the NCAA tournament, that first weekend. I love the event and the volume of it. For me, sporting event. But from a pure event standpoint, forget sports, it's got to be Super Bowl. Super Bowl is number one in Americana, I would think.
Yeah, and I think the question then does become, Twitter hit us there, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. It evolved into that, right? And we could probably all agree it's the Super Bowl. I think we're all probably there. Maybe. At least I agree with you, Adam, that it is. How far of a distance is it from everybody else? Where is it? How? Because when it started, like, the NFL was smaller than college football. The Rose Bowl was gigantically bigger than any NFL game ever was, Super Bowl included, World Championship included. The Super Bowl has hugely surpassed that. How big is the divide in the expanse now between the Super Bowl and second place?
I think it's a huge gap. And yeah, just like Adam said, the reason why it's not, and just like you said too, all of us said really, it's not because of the game. It's because of the extracurriculars within the Super Bowl. It's the commercials. It's the halftime show. It's the, you know, media day leading up to the event. I think that there's so many, it can hit so many demographics of type of people that you don't have to like football in order to watch the Super Bowl. You could watch it for the little Breaking Bad commercial with the popcorn chips because you like Breaking Bad. I don't like football, but I like Breaking Bad. I want to see Walton and Jesse do another commercial together. Like, there's so many things that you can get out of the Super Bowl that you can't get out of, like, the Final Four. Right. They're not going to play big-time commercials.
And people love Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament, but again, that's a multi-game event. It's not just a one-off. It almost feels like the Super Bowl is multi-game by the time you get there because the anthem feels like a game. The coin flip feels like a game. The God Bless America feels like a game. The captain shaking hands feels, but it is just one game. And then the halftime is so long, that feels like a game
too.
Game. Right.
Every single moment is its own event.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
But here's, and you brought up the Kentucky Derby, and I think that's a really good call in that for, what, 2 minutes, the entire country stops. And we're all focused on the same, or, you know, a great number of people are focused on the same thing. But that's what happens for the Super Bowl. For 3.5 hours, the entire country grinds to a halt. And if you look at it, I think 30 of the 31 most watched television programs in the history of television are Super Bowls. Like, that's the only thing that captures America. I mean, more so than presidential election coverage or this or that news event or this classic TV show going off the air. Nothing brings America together more than, say, like 6 to 10 p.m. on that first Sunday in February.
See, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think that the Super Bowl has surpassed and just really gone into another realm past the Kentucky Derby because, and they were neck and neck somewhat before, I think because the Kentucky Derby, you could bet on it more than you could football. Tell me
if
I'm wrong.
It was, Kentucky Derby was the one thing people bet on all year if they bet on anything.
Right.
Now people bet on a Tuesday night game between Northwestern and Illinois. It's just everything. Horse racing and boxing, a big boxing match, used to be bigger than the Super Bowl. It did.
Yeah, you're right about that. And to me, Chris, you hit on it, the number of people that watch the Super Bowl. There are many great female sports fans in this country, no question about it, but there are also a lot of people who don't give a rip about football for one night that will. And it's why we're going to consume more chicken wings this coming Sunday than we ever have in the history of the world, because it's not just the men that are gathered around. It's everybody. It's kids are going to stay up later than they normally would because they're going to watch the Super Bowl. It brings in everybody.
Now, it never reached the Super Bowl level. Well, it did way back in like the 40s, 50s, and 60s. But and then it sort of waned off some. But It came back some with Tyson. But you know what would be, and it wouldn't reach the level of the Super Bowl. One thing that American sport misses now more than ever, and it'll never come back, when America has a heavyweight champion, it buzzes, and it's different. Boxing's done. Boxing's finished. Yeah. It's over.
They made
it's
a mockery of it.
Right. It's never coming back. No. But, you know, I talk to people, and I know some people in Vegas very, very well, and they're old-timers enough to remember. And they said, when Tyson and Holyfield got it going, like, that was the end of when there's an American heavyweight champion, this country buzzes. Now, that was before. That was in the, you know, in the 80s and the 90s. It'll never get back, but I would have loved to live that buzz.
Oh, man.
When there was a real American heavyweight champion and boxing was big.
I remember just being young and my parents throwing big Ragers parties just because Lennox Lewis. And they would all put money
everybody
together.
Everybody chip in $5 for the pay-per-view.
And
right.
There'd be so many people at my house just to watch Lennox Lewis or Oscar De La Hoya. Or I mean, there were so
Michael
many.
Moore.
Michael Moore. Yeah, there were so many boxers. And the card that they would put out there was so good. The undercard would be good. You would have, you know, Paul Spadafora, or you would have, you know, Pavlik from Youngstown. You would have a relationship sometimes with the undercard, and then you're getting Lennox Lewis Holyfield. Well, you're getting Tyson Holyfield. It was big.
When we get to the end of this, in summation, it kind of got to where I wanted it to get. We grasp for straws, and we're in that life vest and floating in the middle of the ocean, reaching up, trying to... Everything's reaching up at the Super Bowl. It absolutely demolishes everything else. And it worked hard to get there.
I think number two, Colin, the more we've meted out this discussion, is the NFL draft.
I agree.
I really do. It is such an event. And thousands of people now go and watch the damn thing live. It's remarkable. It's NFL and then everything else.
You guys just talked about yesterday about your mock drafts, how you can't get over it. Like, think about all the other people that are out there doing the same thing, just waiting for that time in April for that draft to hit to be like, you know what, I put out my mock draft. Let me see if I can hit it. There's so many angles to it now that you could be involved.
Think about one of the few things that gave us a sense of normalcy a few years ago. Spring of 2020, we're all sitting around like, my God, there's no sports. There's no, what are we going to do? What's going on? It was Roger Goodell in his damn basement announcing draft picks. Absolutely right.
The other thing, too, is you knew the NFL knew they had something even bigger with the NFL draft when they said, wait a minute, Saturday and Sunday we're sitting around all day. No. We spread this out. We're even going to get more viewership. We start this thing on a night. We do one round and then tell people come back the next day. Right. Yeah, we got you.
You're going to get
somebody's
picked.
Walking on a stage with Wayne Newton and talking about their suit. Yeah.
For a thing they used to do over the phone.
Right. They used to do it over the phone on a freaking chalkboard. It might be number two. It might. So the real question is, what's the second most popular American sporting event? I think it's devolved into that. That's the question here. And it might be the NFL draft.
I mean, it's right there. I just looked, 8.5 million people watched the first day of the draft, but then let's say it's 6 million people the next couple. So you're talking about ultimately 30 million people watching their team send representatives up to a microphone to say, hey, we're going to take this guy from Toledo in the fourth round. Come on.
Unreal. What a conversation. What a country. I love it. We are hooked on the NFL, and it comes to a head on Sunday at about 6 o'clock. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Get money coming up in just a couple minutes. Max Starks, he said something very, very interesting. We hear that a little later on in the hour here on the Fan Morning Show.
Thank you, Colin. Here, I'm Doran here for Noah Gabriel & Company Jewelers. Voted the number one jeweler in North Pittsburgh. Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Play Cupid with a stunning pair of half-carat round brilliant cut diamond stud earrings for only $3.99 or Forever Gold Rose for $99. It's a real rose preserved in 24 karat gold. If you're looking to get engaged, Noah Gabriel will guarantee she'll love her ring with their exclusive perfect ring guarantee. Visit them in the Pine Tree Shops in Wexford, Ross Park Mall, or online at noahgabrielco.com. That's Noah Gabriel.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Great conversation in the break that I just had. So Paul Rasmussen, who I lean on to be one of the voices of reason in my life, you can hear him on KDKAM 100.1 as well, 1020 and 100.1. He's the newsman. He's Ned the newsman. I mean, he's straight-ahead newsman guy. So I went up and I explained our conversation. He goes, oh, yeah, I heard part of it out in the hallway. He said, you know what? The NFL draft is the second biggest sporting event in our country right now. Paul said, you're on to something. That's what it is. And he said, let me tell you a story. I said, tell me, Paul. And you guys all know him, or if you've heard him on the radio, you know just how straight arrow Paul is. He said, I remember when ESPN first put the NFL draft on the air. And I said to one of my friends, this is the dumbest thing on the air. It'll never last. He goes, now look at it.
Mm.
He said, but I wasn't the only one at the time.
Right.
He said, I'm not afraid to admit I made a mistake or I read it wrong. But so many people said, what in the hell is this on my TV? They're reading off names of people that are joining their team. This will never last.
And just think about the Pro Bowl. Like, they're never going to get rid of whatever bastardized version they give us because they know there's still going to be people who watch
yes.
it. They've got us by the balls, the NFL.
Yes. Oh, man. Anyway, let's get to Get Money right now.
Get money, get money, get money.
Get money, get money, get money, get money. What do we have here?
Oh, guys, I'm on an over heater, an over college basketball heater. Kansas, Texas a couple days ago hit that over. Pitt last night hit that over. So I'm going to go with an over tonight. WVU, Iowa State, I'm going to bet WVU, but I'm not going to bet them. They're getting 3.5 points. I don't like that. I don't like that number, but I like the over. 135.5. Give me that all day long. Iowa State at West Virginia tonight at 7 p.m. 135.5. Get money. Take the over.
You know who else is getting 3.5 points? Golden State. Yeah, I know. Steph Curry's out for a pretty good amount of time. We don't know when he'll be back, presumably by the playoffs. But here nor there, they're getting 3.5 on the road at Portland. Portland has been scoring a ton lately. Dame Lillard is Dame Lillard. But Golden State has still been producing offense even without Steph Curry in the lineup. So I got a same game parlay that'll return at plus 238. It's Golden State plus the 3.5. And it's a big total, but go with it. Over 234.5 with Golden State and Portland.
Crowley, points, before points, you points. Get into yours, can I give a pop to somebody? Doran talked about West Virginia and Iowa State. Mm-hmm. It came across the social media, so I clicked on it yesterday. And I do every couple days, every once in a while. They were dissecting West Virginia and Iowa State by the numbers. The way that Brad Howe and Tony Caridi did it, they had down to offensive possessions per half. Like, they had these real obscure stats that were insane, but they folded it into how this game is going to play out. Brad Howe and Tony Caridi, covering college sports, do as good a job as anybody in this country.
Oh, I'm totally with you. We had Brad Howe on for our Pitt West Virginia breakdown way back when, on the Wednesday before the Backyard Brawl.
I was
brawl.
Thoroughly just enthralled and couldn't turn it off listening to those guys. And I don't care at all about the West Virginia-Iowa State basketball game at all. But those guys had me riveted.
Well,
anyway.
I sure do care about it, Colin. And I'm taking West Virginia on the money line, people. You said 3.5. The line's up to 4, baby. West Virginia favored at home. Iowa State, great team, 2-5 on the road. And the line has already moved towards West Virginia by a point and a half. I always pay attention to that, where the money is going and when it's going late. I don't know about the four, whatever. I think West Virginia wins outright. They're playing much better basketball, have won four out of six. They're much better at home. I think they win straight up tonight.
Here's the easiest future for the Super Bowl. All of them aren't out yet. You know, at the time of the anthem, what color the Gatorade is going to be or whatever. Here's an on-field future that I think you got to jump on. It's not really a future, it's a gameplay. But Miles Sanders plus 120 anytime touchdown score. I think the teams play it close to the vest in the Super Bowl, unless you're knucklehead Pete Carroll. But teams will play it close to the vest. Teams will not do anything wild. Teams won't do anything crazy, especially a coach that's there for the first time in the Super Bowl. If Philly gets in and around the goal line, we're not going to see Philly special with these guys. We're not going to see some reverse. We're not going to see some crazy nonsense. If they're inside the five, they're going to say, let's hand it to Miles Sanders. It's plus 120 right now. It doesn't pay gigantic, but I think it's going to pay. If they get anywhere in close, Miles Sanders is going to at least get a shot and a crack of stuffing that football into the end zone. They'll go big package, and they'll go with him. So Miles Sanders plus 120 anytime touchdown scores. I think you cash that one. That's that. Get money. And that's a story enough people aren't telling about Miles Sanders being from here, being a big-time guy. And also, there were a lot of people that wondered just how good of an NFL running back Miles Sanders would be.
Yeah, I tell you this a couple. I told you this a couple times. When I saw him play in high school, he was the guy that I was like, all right, like that guy is going to play in the NFL. Like he had just like the way he moved, the way he did things, but that story isn't talked about enough. And you know what? He actually is following the track like Shady McCoy did. I know Shady McCoy's not from Pittsburgh. He's from Harrisburg, went to Pitt. Miles Sanders from Pittsburgh, went to Penn State. Both played for the Eagles, both played running back. So it's kind of like, you know, repeating what Shady did. But that is it's a pretty big story. Well, and I hope he has a good game.
Talk about hard work. Yeah. I mean, it's a second round pick, but the guy, you see the videos of him lifting weights. He is so strong from his waist down, that's where he makes yards. It kids, everyone say, well, why am I in their strength training? Why am I doing that? You're in their strength training because you look at Miles Sanders, who's probably 5'10", but he's 220 pounds and jacked.
Don't skip those leg days, kids.
I mean, he is just a fire plug and will run your ass over.
I met him this summer, and I was impressed by how big he was. I didn't think he was that big. I mean, he was a little bit taller than I thought he was as well, but just the way he was put together, I was like, oh, yeah, he's every bit of legit.
You don't want to tackle him.
No.
He runs mean. And yes, he can run past
and
you, too.
He can run past you, too.
I mean, he is a hell of an NFL running back, and I do think he is absolutely subscribes to, I don't know how long I'm going to play, but I'm going to get everything out of how much I'm going to play, whether it's 7 years, 10 years, I'm getting everything out of every single carry. There's never any half-stepping with Miles Sanders.
Great call.
I love him as a back. I really do. Max Starks had something to say that shook up Steelerville a little bit. We get into that coming up in just a moment. Hey, Pittsburgh, new brown butter toffee latte at Dunkin'. We love Dunkin'. Check it out. It's super, super good. Has bold espresso and all kinds of great stuff.
Yeah, it raises the bar on what a latte can be. If it was a shelf, it'd be the top one. Bold espresso, you heard Colin mention, those subtle brown butter and toffee flavor notes. It's absolutely delicious. The new Dunkin' Brown Butter Toffee Latte. Elevate your latte, Pittsburgh. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply. Pittsburgh runs on Dunkin'.
Aaron Rodgers, top of the hour. We talk about him, hear from him as well. Rafe DiPaolo in the 8 o'clock hour. Talk some Penguins in the 8 o'clock hour as well. And it's Wednesdays with Whaley. Steelers lost that Super Bowl. You know that they did to Green Bay. I don't need to tell you. You remember it. 31-25. It's going on, what, I don't know, 12 years now. 10, 11, 12 years, something like that. It was a while ago. And Max Starks remembers it. He was on with our PM team, guys. And he says, listen to this and then we'll discuss it. The Steelers abandoned the run in that football game. They went and they threw the football around the yard. Here's why Max Stark says this is why.
Max, why do you guys think you didn't just hammer the run in that game if their nose tackle was such a liability? What's your theory?
What's the statute of limitation?
They're all,
that was 2010. You got more than 10 years.
Yeah, more than 10 years. It's time.
Yeah, no, I think we were trying to make sure that, you know, that guys had opportunities for bigger trophies at the end. I'll just leave it at that. But I think that, you know, it's one of those things where if you feel good about it and you know who your superstar is, you try and put the ball in his hands many times to make him successful. The problem was it was just not that – it wasn't the right opponent to do that in.
All right, Ben was 25 of 40 for 263. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. Mendenhall was the leading rusher, 16 for 63. We know about the fumble. Ben ran it four times for 31 yards. The Steelers ran it as a team 23 times. Isaac Redman got two totes, and Melody Moore got three. That said, though, in the flow of the game, and I don't want to hammer Max Starks here, but maybe the Steelers started throwing the football because they were down 21-10 at the half, and they were down 21-3 earlier on at one point. I seem to think that might be what had happened here, as opposed to, and I'm not somebody that's here always defending Ben Roethlisberger or whatever, but flow of the game dictated throwing the football to get back into it, as opposed to Ben trying to win an MVP trophy.
Yeah, and if you want to criticize Ben, by all means, the two first half picks, neither of them was particularly pretty. And those each led to scores. One was a pick six. Another one led to a Greg Jennings touchdown catch late in the first half. By all means, criticize Ben for his performance in the first half of that game. But they weren't throwing the ball because they weren't throwing the ball in like a three-point game because Ben was chasing an MVP. They were throwing the ball because they were down multiple scores, to your point, Colin.
Yeah, they were trying to come back and get into the game, try to win the game. I mean, that's the only way you can do it at that point is to throw the ball. I don't know that Max Starks really knows what the angle was there. I mean, how could you really know unless you were talking to – who was the offensive coordinator at the time?
Arians.
Okay, yep. Arians. Unless you're talking to Arians, and that was his method of what he wanted to do is to get possibly Ben an MVP trophy.
It was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter.
And also, Doug Ligurski was playing for Maurkice Pouncey, so you don't have – yeah, he was a rookie, but a very good player at the time to counter a B.J. Raji at that point. And – the last time we saw Ben in a Super Bowl, oh, I don't know. He just threw a touchdown pass to Santonio Holmes to win the game, one of the best throws in Super Bowl history. If I'm going to lose, you can criticize Ben's performance, no doubt about it. But if I'm going to lose the Super Bowl, I'm going to lose the Super Bowl trusting my Hall of Fame quarterback over Rashard effing Mendenhall.
You know what the real story is of that football game, if you really look at it? That the Packers only ran it 13 times with that big of a lead.
Yeah.
That they took a much bigger risk leaving it on Rodgers' arm to throw it 39 times, rather than being able to kill clock by running the football. James Starks was our leading rusher with 11 carries. No other back carried the football. 11 times he ran the football, that was it. There were no other rushers.
And the fact that they felt like they could get away with it because they could target Troy Polamalu, who was dinged up. And Jeff wrote a great piece yesterday on the website, 937thefan.com, about what James Jones said to Pony on Radio Row this week. And that's exactly what it was. They wanted to target Troy Polamalu, and that's exactly what they did, especially with Jordy Nelson in the middle of the field. They took advantage of that and used those guys to run the clock out.
Man, they wanted to target Troy.
I don't want to call out. I like Starks, whatever. That's a look at me hot take.
Yeah.
And it doesn't add up. 1-1 doesn't make two.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
1-1 doesn't make two, and even more so, 1-1 makes like seven here.
Well, because if you go back and look at the first 10 offensive plays the Steelers ran, five of them were runs. And a couple of those plays came even after they were down 14-0. First two plays after they're down 14-0 are handoffs to Mendenhall. So who's trying to win an MVP there?
Mendenhall also fumbled the game away at one point. And so you're calling to have put the game in Mendenhall's hands earlier? I don't understand where Starks is coming from apart from being a look-at-me guy here. He's salty. He didn't even play in the game, by the way. He was hurt.
Right.
So he didn't play. He said he was working on defensive rotations. Like, he was helping communicate on the sidelines. So he's all salty. The reason they lost, I think, is no matter what the Steelers would have done offensively, I don't think, unless they would have scored with no time left on the clock, I think Green Bay would have found a way to score again. The defense just wasn't good enough that night.
Yeah, I don't know. And then, okay, that's the issue. That's what was said yesterday. I don't know what compels Max Starks in the year 2023 to say that. Has he harbored this feeling this long? Is he Is he that salty about it? Does he need to get it off his chest? Is he mad at Ben? Is he upset about a missed opportunity that he didn't play? Like, has he held all this inside? Why is he still on the hate train with this?
I don't know. It just seems like, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird that he comes out and says that.
You got things you remember from 10, 12 years ago that you'd...
That I want to get off my chest? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
But I wouldn't do it.
I mean, the other thing is Ben retired. I mean, you didn't do it while Ben was playing, did you, big boy?
But weren't he and Starks close while they were both playing? Wasn't that one of the guys he always hung out with?
Yep.
Thought so.
That's my recollection.
I seem to remember them always being out around town and always being pals and him always referencing Max Starks as one of his big boys.
You know what? It might be more of a criticism of Bruce Arians than anybody else or even Mike Tomlin. Just they're trying to get Ben the trophy because they felt like Ben probably should have got it last time.
Interesting.
I know.
Very.
It isn't a little thing that he said.
No.
Because it's not recent. Like, he's been holding this. Either that or he's been holding it inside. It's one of these two things. He's been holding it inside that long, or a recent event has him feeling that way about Ben when he otherwise didn't feel it. And now he wants to take personal shots at Ben.
I would say that. Something must have happened.
Something bubbled the resentment back towards the surface.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ben's news when he ain't even news. Ah, man.
Wait for the next episode of the podcast.
Twitter poll coming up in just a little bit. Aaron Rodgers going away at the top of the hour. Doran, tell us about something.
Yeah, thank you, Colin. Noah Gabriel and Company Jewelers voted the number one jeweler in North Pittsburgh. Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Play Cupid with a stunning pair of half-carat round brilliant cut diamond stud earrings for only $3.99 or a forever gold rose for $99. It's a real rose preserved in 24 karat gold. If you're looking to get engaged, Noah Gabriel will guarantee she'll love her ring with their exclusive perfect ring guarantee. Visit them in the Pine Tree Shops in Wexford, Ross Park Mall, or online at noahgabrielco.com. That's noahgabrielco.com.
Pitt men's basketball took care of business at the Pete last night, beating Louisville 91-57. Now 10-3 in the ACC. The Penguins in overtime over the Avs 2-1. For more, go to 937thefan.com. Headlines powered by Bowser Subaru.
All right, scheduled to appear tomorrow, by the way, Cam Hayward. Been talking to him. He should come on. He's out there at the Super Bowl, but he's going to come on, talk about NFL Man of the Year, talk about the Steelers, all nice. Of that. So scheduled to appear in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow. In the 9 o'clock hour today, it's Wednesdays with Whaley. Right now, let's get to our Twitter poll. Come on. All right, daily Twitter poll, this one from yesterday. Better food, Kansas City barbecue or Philly cheesesteak? That's the question. 58.7% of the respondents said Kansas City barbecue. 41.3% said Philly cheesesteak. Daily Twitter poll today at Fan Morning Show. We'll hear from him in Breakfast Bites. LeBron James, greatest basketball player of all time, yes or no? 80% of you say no. 20% of you say yes. He is the leading scorer in NBA history. Surpassed that mark last night. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. Also later on in the show, about an hour from right now, midweek morning mouth off. That comes your way, 7:45. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? It's that simple. And why? Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Who do you want to win? Let's make a big deal of this. 7:45 today, midweek morning mouth off. What about this emoji stuff you were yakking about earlier there, Crowley? Tell me about this.
I'm very self-conscious about the way that I respond to people via text. If I want to throw an LOL out there, if I want to go ha-ha, if I want to go three ha's, which, come on, LMAO, LMFAO, LOLZ. There are so many different ways to connote laughter, and I'm not sure which one, A, looks most juvenile. How do I get taken seriously? Do I not put anything at all? What connotes for you real laughter? Because I've done a little of each.
Four letters. H-A-H-A. That's it.
The H-A-H is bad.
H-A-H-A.
Yeah.
I don't need an emoji. I'm emoji and GIF. I'm not emoji or GIF guy. I write words for the most part.
So if I'm really laughing, I put LOL, LOL, like two LOLs.
Like, lol, lol, lol.
Yeah, lol, lol, lol. And, or if I'm really laughing, I put a bunch of ha-has. If I put lol, it's not funny. If I put one, if I put one like crying face emoji, it's not funny.
Going back through your texts.
If I put a bunch of them, you going back? If I put a bunch of them, then it's funny. If I put a bunch of emojis, it's funny. If I don't, if it's just one, then it's not funny. It's like, all right, let's go on to the next subject or leave me alone.
I've evolved over the years. I used to be H-A-H-A guy. I've evolved to throw an LOL out there occasionally. I'll throw emojis out there. I'm not above emojis. I'll use them, even if they seem juvenile. But if I literally find myself laughing out loud, I will tell you, I'm literally laughing out loud.
Yeah, that's a big move.
I don't think I one time in my life have ever typed the letters in succession, unless they're in a word, LOL.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever typed that in a text.
It's a big one-hand move for me. You know, if I'm going two hands, I'll go H-A-H-A. If I'm in one hand, LOL.
You know what you do that I recognized a long time ago before I was even doing the show with you? Is you put a ba-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yes, that's my big one. Yeah. You know why? Because if I type B-H-A, it's saved. Like, it just recognizes it, and then I just... Because I did that like one time, so now that's my laugh.
That's your laugh.
Yep. Yeah. So I just go... I type B-H, and it comes up as like... It already starts a sentence, and I just click on it, and there it is. Bah.
But whenever you do that, I know that you're actually laughing.
Yes.
Now. Yes.
So. Doran, I went back and I looked. I think we're on good terms.
Yeah.
A lot of ha 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 ha's out of you, a lot of emojis. I'm feeling good about myself.
I feel like you're funny.
Question here that I can ask you, because I am safe. Uh-oh. And I am comfortable in our race relations.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, considering I'm the one that uncovered the fact that you were the Jackie Robinson of Punxsutawney.
You were.
Right? And then we had a great thing, and we explained that to the American masses, that you were the first black man to cover Punxsutawney, Phil, and do a live broadcast from there. And we are waiting for your award from those people up there, whatever county that is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow. So, that being said, whenever your phone comes and it's defaulted and you get a new phone, and say you use emojis, right? And it's praying hands or the fist bump or the wave or whatever, do you change it to your skin color? Because I think it's defaulted like a yellowish, right? Or what? Because I noticed your fist bump is the skin tone of a African-American man. Mm-hmm. Mine, not. Mm-hmm. You know why? You're black and I'm white.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way the world works.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get away with that, I don't think. Like having the black fist.
No,
the brown skin tone.
No.
Fist bump.
Right. No.
I believe
no.
That's what
but
we
yours
call appropriation.
Is. Yes.
Yeah, mine is. And it's not the blackest one. It's the one that looks like my skin tone. It's the last one before it's the one before the last black one.
The next to the darkest one.
The next to the darkest one.
Do you set it that way?
Yeah, did you set it like that?
Yeah.
Like if you hold your thumb down on the fist or whatever the emoji is, it'll give you the range of colors.
Right. It'll give you the range of colors. So all my emojis are that color.
Don't leave your phone laying around because I'm going to change Crowley's to that.
And then it'll autocorrect every time after that so that Crowley's throwing out a black thumbs up.
What would you think if it was like the whitest guy you know, like Greg Finley? And he started texting you emojis that were like the fist bump, and it was a black like fist bump.
I'd be like,
"Hey, we got to talk."
No good.
Somebody has done that before. I mean, there's actually a couple people who'll send back like a fist bump, and it'll be like a darker shade of what they are, and I'm like, "All right, like you ain't that dark."
Well, like
like you gotta stop.
Dark.
You know, like you're just trying to be cool. You're trying to be hip.
What about if you're a black guy and you send the white one?
Yeah.
You just didn't change your phone?
I don't think any black guy wants to send a white one.
What about the yellow one? White.
I don't think any black guy wants to
be white.
What
about the yellow one that's like the default?
The default, yeah, for sure. I think older people just...
I'm dying because I'm picturing... I want to break into the whitest guy's phone that I know and send like a really dark...
Don't
bump.
Leave your phone laying around, Matt.
Right. No, it's Finley. Finley would be the guy.
Like if like somebody like PJ sent like the black like fist bump, I'd be like, hey,
Starkey.
I'd be P.
Starkey would be it. If Starkey started black praying hands to everybody.
I'd be like,
or Ron Cook. Sent you the wave, the black hand wave, Ron Cook.
What are you trying to do here, Ron? What are you trying to accomplish? What's going on? What are you trying to do?
Oh, goodness. Because, like, when you and I fist bump, it's like the symbol for unity.
Right.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
Makes me feel good.
Yeah.
It's like our Punxsutawney broadcast.
Right.
You know, they brought some soul up into Punxsy.
Man, they needed it.
They did. They did need it. Wait, if I just do that for one day, it'd be frowned upon.
Well, I mean, not with me.
Right,
but
right,
you better
right.
watch who you send it.
Yeah, be
right,
careful
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I'd be careful.
Okay.
And I can't. I ain't gonna.
I'm
have
not
her,
gonna.
I,
my hands. Back.
Not
I know.
Listen, that's on you.
I'm
you're
walking out
in.
On that bridge
listen,
by myself. I got
don't,
it.
Don't
I
know him.
I'm
don't
not doing it. I'm
don't,
not doing it.
Don't know that guy.
But I might. I wish I could trick Ron into doing that. Ron, let me see your phone for a minute.
I'm pretty sure that you could probably do it. I'm pretty sure you could figure out a way that his phone would be unlocked and you can get in there.
No, Ron, people appreciate it if you send the emoji what? And the skin tone of
I mean, his password's Ben69. Yeah. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Silverado's Colorado's back in stock with a great selection. Stop in and online too, sunchevy.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.